you know, what we talk about now, we in 5 years' time, we have the same conversation, and crikey knows where it will have gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what we'll be doing. We'll probably wear all running around in hover shoes by then. Or the soul will change mid-trail with a press of a button or something.
Right.
Who knows what...
Kia ora koutou. That was Martin Rocky Walker. I'm Matt Raymond.
And I'm Eugene Bingham.
This is Dirt Church Radio. Interesting conversations with interesting runners.
I've been shopping.
I went shopping too, but mine hasn't arrived because apparently Riverhead is like up there with the Bermuda Triangle in terms of like trying to buy stuff and it not arriving.
Maybe they need like drones.
Yeah.
Drones to drop off. But I went shopping in the Wild Things VIP store.
As did I.
Got myself a few goodies.
As did I.
Availed myself the VIP membership discount.
As did I.
And I've been telling you, haven't I?
Yep.
It's good.
I am a late adopter.
Yep.
It's fair to say.
I got mine today, little pack, with a little note on the back from Sal.
I haven't got
mine
yet.
Thanks, Eugene. There's always little goodies in there.
What did you get?
What's worth it?
What did you get?
I got some Tailwind Recovery.
Yeah, love Tailwind Recovery.
Yep. A few other bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you use the code DCR2021,
yeah,
you get 15 months VIP membership for the price of 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to use all the VIP discounts,
yep,
things like
and,
that.
And
all sorts
the VIP,
of... All sorts
they're good. They're legitimately good. Having used them and applied them...
Yep.
What did I buy? Some T8 undies?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And a squidgy bottle thing.
Oh, squidgy bottle. I got my squidgy bottle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you can do that. You get all sorts of benefits from being a VIP member. It's well worth it. Also, we get a little from Mal and Sal, and they get an extra member, so they're happy. You're happy. We're happy. Why not?
Wildthings.club.
Do it.
Gnarly. Speaking, I just talked about squidgy bottles, but do you know what... My favourite ever running liquid receptacle is?
Mm. No.
The Ultra Spire flask.
Yes.
Not the soft flask, but the one that's sort of between
the
bottle.
The one that sort of folds around.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Shaped.
Stuck into the left-hand pocket of a Zygos 4.
Yeah.
You've got an unbeatable hydration delivery system right there. There's no weird kind of marathon disabler, bong
stick
straw
your eye
stick
out.
You in the eye.
Yeah.
And it doesn't... sort of ooze out of holes that it shouldn't, and it's just there.
Mm.
And yeah, I'm just, I love it.
But the Zygos 4, I mean, you just.
I'm in love with that pack.
Yeah.
We've had several friends, several millennial friends who have moved away from perhaps trendier brands onto the Ultra Spire bandwagon, and they're loving it too.
They are.
So if you go to ultraspire.co.nz, check out the Zygos 4. It's a fantastic pack. It's you know, we're rocking it for Wu2K, we'll be rocking it for Kepler, rocking it for whatever else we do because it's the packs that we're running at the moment. Mm. And
just
we
those
love
little
them.
Missions around.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I actually wore it to school camp. It was my day pack.
Nice.
Yeah.
Perfect for that.
Absolutely. Went on a tramp with one. Felt a bit... Like, I felt out a bit, I was hiding in plain sight, but, you know, it was no one else knew what was going on, so I was happy.
Had the little phone tucked away.
I did, actually. I had the phone in the phone pocket.
Yeah, cool.
Ultraspire.co.nz, get amongst it.
Do it.
So, I suppose we better talk about Further Faster.
Yeah. They're in Christchurch.
Yeah, they are. And
they're also online.
They're online. If you go to furtherfaster.co.nz, you can... I just go there and just look at stuff and go like, I'd really like a jet boil. Even though I have realistically no practical use for one, because I've got a stove, and at work I've got a zip, you know, but no, I need a jet boil. But go to furtherfaster.co.nz, go to Further Faster if you're in Christchurch, amazing store, amazing community, and we're going to play the jingle that Rocky kind of hates now, but what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
It goes something like Further Faster, they're in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go to Further Faster now.
Oh, Further Faster, they're in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go to Further Faster now.
Dirt Church Radio.
Episode 148.
We made it.
We
and
did.
We're back together.
Back together, yeah.
Great to have you back. How's Thanks. Lola?
No, she's okay.
I left everyone hanging last week.
She's got a broken elbow. Well, she broke the bottom of her arm.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So for those of you who haven't listened to last week, basically just before we were about to record, I get a message from Matt. He's at the ED.
Yep.
Not working this time.
No.
He's with one of his daughters, Lola, and she basically gone over.
Yeah, she'd fallen over onto her elbow, and she rang me because we were going to have to Zoom it anyway because I was a bit sick. And then she rang me and she was like, really casual. She was like, oh, hi, Dad, I've hurt my arm. And me being the good healthcare professional that I am, I said, have you hurt your leg? And she said, no. And I said, well, get on the bus and come home. And then she turned up home and she was like this kind of light gray color in her arm. Wasn't the right shape.
I was like,
okay, we've got to get in the car straight away.
Oh.
But she was so casual. She's a tough kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, but
and you had the hospital cat there too.
Daisy, the hospital cat, keeping it real. So, yeah, it was hectic. But I mean, what a show!
Yeah, well, I mean, I really missed having you here, but it was great to catch up with Carl Reed, and I just loved how real and open and honest he was. And I know a lot of people got a lot out of that. And then he raced at the weekend.
Mm.
He didn't just race. He smashed it.
No, how awesome.
Awesome. So he won the 100-miler at Brisbane Valley Rail Trail Race, 15 hours, 19 minutes, which is a course record. Yeah, I mean, it just everything that he talked about, he put into place. He didn't hold off the gas. He got it done. He said he was pleased to have the Myler monkey off his back. He's figured out the 161 kilometres is a long way to run.
Yeah, especially at 5 minute Ks.
Yeah. And he said, especially when you don't trust yourself and make a wrong turn, adding another 2K to the journey. Oops. He said he had a great day, started out easy and just enjoyed being out there at a pretty epic course. Nutrition and hydration was bang on. Everything went to plan. The unknown 40 kilometres at the end, because he's had, you know, two DNFs and 200-mile attempts, was brutal. He slowed down because it was pitch black and head torch on Charles's hard work. Yeah.
I can't believe he said he slowed down and his overall
pace
was just on 5 minutes.
I know. Anyway, well done, mate. It was just incredible. Not running a super fast 100-mile race or anything, but we had a pretty good run on Saturday.
No, there's nowhere near anything fast in my running anymore.
Trying to get a not awkward segue out of there, but that was an awesome session of yours.
Yeah, my UTMB, which is utterly, totally Matt Raymond Barlow Road.
Yeah.
That's what that stands for. I was sick. I was really worried because I hadn't been able to run.
Yeah.
And I worked out, for those who know Riverhead, if you run from the bottom gate at Barlow Road up to the trig and back, it's about 7.5K. So I wanted to get about 40K.
Yep.
So that was five trips up to the trig and then one up to the top of Barlow. And it was the weekend weather in Aotearoa was it was brutal.
Yeah.
Like I hopped out of the car at, you know, 4:45 in the morning, and by 4:46 I was totally soaking wet.
Yeah.
And then I saw my old mate Eugene about 2 hours later.
Yeah, I'd started at 6:30 and I wasn't doing the 40Ks. I was just out for a couple of hours. So I raced over to catch up with Matt and hopped out of the car, immediately drenched, turned my headlight on and got the rain equivalent of snow blindness.
Yeah, yeah, you can't.
Just couldn't see.
It's reflecting off all the sideways rain.
Yeah. And so just, I actually ran blind. I was running towards there just having to guess that I was going the right way based on the contours of the land and stuff. It was kind of weird. But it was kind of exciting. I realized when I reached you, I was just like an excited kid.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, me too.
Hey, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. So it was cool to be out there. And and then the sun came out.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Auckland, Tāmaki, Makaurau.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of like being all geared up and ready to get out in tough conditions, this week, Rocky Walker.
Yeah.
Martin.
So he has the Further Faster jingle, the man behind the store.
Mm.
I first met Rocky 5 years ago.
Yeah.
The first time I ever came down and did Kepler. And he's this guy, he's really into the outdoors and he's been doing it for a long time. And he was talking about sort of the ski rep days. And he's a real character.
Yeah.
We couldn't wait to get him on the show to talk about.
We've had to twist his arm quite a lot.
Yeah, we've had to twist his arm quite a bit. He's anyone who knows him, he's pretty indefatigable. He's very enthusiastic and he loves the outdoors. Wanted to talk to him about gear and mountain safety and all that sort of stuff. And it was a ripping chat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can't wait to bring that to people. Now, I always get this wrong.
Yes.
But the competition, the giveaway entry for of an entry for Tarawera, you've got till tomorrow, Thursday, not the last three Thursdays that I've messaged Matt going, has the competition closed?
Has the competition closed?
I'm like, it's like Groundhog Day for Matt. I'm so sorry.
And those who might know us knows that Eugene is a touch more, just a touch more organised in terms of dates and stuff. But I've stuck to my guns and it's, Thursday the 23rd of June, which is tomorrow. Get in your nomination for who you think deserves a Tarawera entry, and that's either the 102, the 50, or the 21K. And what we want, dirtchurchradio@gmail.com, let us know why you think the person who you're nominating. Deserves an entry. And look, I tell you, we've had some, it's going to be, oh gosh, it's going to be tough.
We've kind of given ourselves a job, haven't we?
We've had some rippers.
Yeah.
Some deserving people out there. And, it's in keeping with the great thing about, we're all about community, and this just shows how incredible a community we have. So, fantastic.
Absolutely. How have you been, man, apart from getting wet?
As I said, back on the trolley. Mm. So had a great weekend of running. Mm. I've been sick. I've been, it's been busy.
But you backed it up with those two solid runs on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So 40K on the 40K on the Saturday and 17 on the Sunday. Yep. Close to 18 on the Sunday. So very happy with how I'm going and can't actually wait to get down to the Woo 2K.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really enjoying that those last few weeks of grind.
Yeah.
You know how you just get into it. You just get into your work. You can see the glimmer of taper not far away, but you're just enjoying getting into the grind and stuff. Bring it on. Should we jump into...
Do it. There's some amazing races been on around the Motu.
There sure has.
Possum.
Yeah.
Down in Taupo, which is a night trail run. I love, it's my favourite time.
Man, and it looks so good.
Shortest day, darkest night. Yeah.
And people really got into it, didn't they?
Yeah.
They really, really got into it. It just looked like a bag of fun with lights on.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've been, those listening overseas, those listening who haven't run in Taupo, go run in Taupo. It is underrated.
Yeah, like, Wairaki Resort, Craters of the Moon.
Yep, Craters of the Moon.
It feels like another planet. It really does.
So taking out the 21K was Emma McCosh in 1:56.50, and you had Catherine Hawko second in 2:59, and Sarah Bauer in 2:08.46.
And for the men, Will Samuel 1:44.26, Greg Weston 1:45.04, and Matthew Stokes 1:47.06.
In the 12K, it was Levon Hughes in 52 minutes and 48 seconds. Ooh, that's blistering. And Carl Berquist in 54 minutes, 9 seconds.
Oof. And the 5K, Kirstine McDonald, 27 minutes, 16 seconds. And Kyan Weston, 23.06. So there was a couple of other races. The Monaco Midwinter Marathon in Nelson on the Great Taste Trail. That sounds like a good trail, the Great Taste Trail. And was on the Gizzy Trail Run Series, which I always look out for. This week's event was called off because of the heavy rain. Have you seen?
Good
down,
call.
They're being absolutely smashed down there. So hope everything's okay. Hope everyone's safe. And, we'll watch out for when that race comes back. But we talked about the Brisbane Valley Rail Trail race that Carl Reid won. Here were the other results for it. For the women, Kathleen Judge, 19:24.20, Catherine Austin, 19:47.43, and Lauren Forsey, 21:04.13.
And in the men, it was Carl Reid in 15:19.05, Kevin Muller in 17:38.12. Wow, that's a handy lead. Mm. And Matt Grills, third in 18:19.24.
So there was also a 200-miler
event. Of course there was.
Event, in that same race. So Yelena Clear, 52 hours, 8 minutes and 2 seconds.
And about Hepworth was second in 57:53.07.
Ryan Crawford won the men 42:37, which was also a course record, an Australian trail 200-mile record.
And Neil McNeil, which is an epic name.
It is.
50 hours, 53 minutes, and 57 seconds.
Yep. And in the 50 miler, Jackie Bell was the first woman home, 8:31:19. Sheree Barnes, 9:24 flat. And Jen Campbell, 9:45:30.
Anderson Mokuiti was 6:59:20. Paul Jackson, second in 7:01:40. And Ben Bergen in 8:31:32.
Yeah, special shout out to Ben, who's a keen listener of DCR. He said that he came home strong, passing a couple of people in the last 20 kilometres. Sounds like a greatest run ever to me. No pressure.
Greatest run ever, Ben. Come on.
Right, in the marathon, Annette Ringett, 3:45:33, and Benjamin Fozel, 3:07:22, took that out. Hey, I meant to talk to you last week, but, you know, circumstances, about that amazing Backyard Ultra in the UK the other week. How epic was that? So it was June the 5th. John Stocker ran more than 337 miles, which is 542 kilometres in 81 hours. It was at the Suffolk Backyard Ultra. Matt Blackburn completed 80 laps before dropping out, and so he ran 316 miles. So both of them beat the previous world record by Carl Saab. How do I say that?
Carol Sabe.
Yeah. I've written it down wrong. At Biggs, that international event, remote event, last October, where he ran 75 laps yards. It was incredible. I mean, they were doing apparently 45 to 50 minute laps, pretty consistency. And let's bring on Tennessee in October.
Let's bring on Tennessee in October. I can't, and I've not to take away. And it'd be interesting to see if everyone was. It'd be interesting to see how people did if everyone had a consistent amount of vertical gain.
Of course,
in each.
But still, you're running for 81 hours.
Oh no, I know.
You know,
I know.
Mm. But yeah, you're right. It's horses for courses. Still to be running for 81 hours.
Absolutely not taking away anything from what those amazing athletes have accomplished.
Amazing, amazing. The summer spine race on the Pennine Way is not an easy course and is going on right now. We'll be interested to see how that whole thing unfolds. Matt Gervin is out there representing Aotearoa.
Absolutely.
What's
happening
States,
next week?
Yeah, Western States, June 26th, so that's Saturday. What will it be Saturday afternoon, evening, our time it starts?
19 hours ahead, we are.
Our friends at iRunFar have done, of course, a comprehensive preview of both men's and women's fields, and they'll be covering the race as usual, and we'll put a link to their previews in the show notes. But suffice to say, it's going to be heckers.
Yeah, it's going to be mad. It is going to be incredible. Yeah. So in the women's race, 8 of 2019's top 10 women return. In that group's 2019 champ, Claire Gallagher, who in winning the last edition did so in the event's second fastest time in race history, as well as Brittany Pearson, who finished second in 2019 in the race's fourth fastest time ever. Casey Lichtig and Magda Boulay, they're both back. They're both previous champions. Beth Pascal is in it to win after her fourth place in 2019, and she's been getting after it since then. Mm. And then there's the international superstars. Well, one of them's international, one of them's homegrown, Ragnar De Bats and Ruth Croft.
Boom!
Yep, both of whom are racing 100 miles for the first time.
Go, Ruth. That is just going to be so fantastic
and cool
to watch. The little refresh button is going to die on my phone.
Absolutely.
The men's race.
It's hard not to think of it as a two-horse race. However.
Yes.
We don't know what's going to happen.
Well, you don't know. You don't know. There's so many factors. There's, you know, Paul talked about the other week, you know, Western's got its own special flavours of
things.
That's
right, yeah.
You know, how many times did Jim Walmsley have to go there before he finally kind of cracked it? But so speaking of Jim Walmsley in the men's race, him, Jared Hazen, you know, both ran sub 14:30. Which is still phenomenal, isn't it? Matt Daniels, Stephen Kirsch, Patrick Regan, they're going to be out there chasing them down. Mark Hammond, Jeff Browning, Tim Tollefson, Alex Nichols, Hayden Hawks, Matt King. The list just goes on and on and on, and it's going to be amazing. And, you know, especially having missed out on last year. So the race, because of COVID, obviously, and the restrictions on overseas entrance and that sort of the restrictions around overseas entrance and so on, they ran through their entire 50-person wait list.
Wow.
Indeed, as of June 14, only 325 runners out of a limit of 369 are going to be lining up. So this year looks to have the fewest number of race starters since there were 294 starters in 1985.
Wow. It's going to be on.
Yep. So, let's get to another great run.
Greatest run ever, which is the part of the show where we ask you to write into us and tell us your greatest run ever. It doesn't have to be a race or a mountain summit. That time you won Western States and sub 14 hour 30 time. It might
but
just
if
be
you want to, Jim, send it in.
Might just be a run around the block or something that's sung to you for some reason. You can send them in to us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. And this one is from Nathan Parry. And just a heads up, it deals with some pretty heavy subjects, including suicide. Every once in a while, a greatest run ever comes along that really knocks us for six. And this is one of these.
Yep.
And it's important that we read it. And this is beautiful. It's hard to know how to start this, how to even know what to say or how much idea to share. I live in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I've been free for about 6 months. Before that, I spent just under 2 years locked in jail. I'm not a repeat offender or some lifelong criminal. It's the only time I've ever been in any kind of trouble. It doesn't even seem real to me now. I was depressed. My girlfriend and I were both suffering horribly with depression and alcoholism, bad enough that we attempted suicide. She died. I was charged with her death. I then spent 2 years fighting for my life in the US legal system. I decided in there that I'd never smoke or drink again. I also decided in there that I'd run 100 miles. I can't really figure out why I decided on 100 miles, to be honest. For the last 6 months, I've been running, trying to build myself into something I can respect, trying to learn to love myself. The miles haven't been the answer. The struggle is more my thoughts. The time locked away was the struggle then, and the miles are a totally different kind of struggle now. Anyway, this is what Nathan said, now we've caught up. A few Sundays ago was my long run. My first 20-miler on trail, and it was great. I felt strong and had tons left in the tank. Monday's recovery run, though, was the greatest run ever. I was slow, blissfully slow. I was almost giddy while rambling up the mountain, trying to get lost, trying to find the end of this deer track and that. After a while, I dropped down into a steep canyon with cliffs on both sides, boulders and snow up the middle. I climbed my way up, got myself nice and boxed in, and sat down. Hung my feet off the boulder I'd climbed on top of and listened to the snow melt rush underneath me and cried. I'm free, boys. Sitting up there, it hit like it hadn't any of those 600-odd miles I've run so far this year. Like it hadn't hit me since they took off the chains and let me out into the falling snow. I'm free, and there's no better feeling in the world. It was the greatest run ever.
Nathan, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
I feel really privileged
that
we have an opportunity to share stories like this.
Well, and that people feel comfortable sharing them with us.
Yeah.
To share with you, the listeners. Yeah, Nathan, that is amazing. And, you know, we just can't imagine what you've been through. And I'm just glad that you've found, you know, this mission that you're on. Respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, well, onto our guest, Martin Walker. Martin is, if you know, Rocky's a force of nature.
He is.
One question we didn't ask him was why he got the nickname Rocky.
That's true.
I'm kind of glad we didn't. It remains a mystery. But anyway.
Maybe because he worked in that rock climbing place.
Maybe.
Don't know.
Or Black Sabbath. I don't know. Could but be. Anyway, Rocky is from the north of England. He likes doom metal, going outside, his dog and gear. He has been in the outdoor industry for over 30 years. He's passionate about racing. He's passionate about people, and he's passionate about the outdoors. And this is a fantastic conversation. Again, we say it in the we said at the top. We had to drag. He is one of the sponsors of our show. We had to drag him on, kicking and screaming, and we're so glad he did. So
because he dispenses some really good advice too. Like if you're getting outdoors, getting in the mountains. You know, there's some good advice in here as well.
Absolutely. Know? So look, without further ado or delay, here is our conversation with Martin Rocky Walker.
Dirt Church Radio.
On the line from his spare room in Ototahi Christchurch is Martin Rocky Walker. Kia ora, Rocky. How are you?
Good evening, team. I'm very well indeed.
Oh, the one and only.
It's really lovely to have you on the show. You've had little cameos. You've had cameos. You had a couple of live show, and then you sort of wizened in one of the lockdown ones. But I mean, yeah, it's really great to have you on. And you were up. You know, thank you. You were up quite early this morning, I understand. What were you up to?
Oh, I was up early because the house had to get up early because the dog had to be at Mount Hutt. That's my dog, Mr. Badger, and Jules. They were going to be on a live cross to Australia. Dogs playing in the snow.
If you need a dog playing in the snow anywhere in New Zealand, you know there's only one number to call. That's the thing, isn't it?
Just ring the Badger phone and we're there whenever you need. If you need a black fluffy dog who loves the snow, we've all these snow dog friends, ring us.
Was it a sort of a tourism-y gig or what was that about?
To be honest, it wasn't my gig. Hutt rung Jules, my wife, and they said, could we get some dogs up there playing the snow? And yeah, they did. Didn't go according to plan so much, I don't think, because they were actually bombing the road because it was avalanches for an hour and a half, but it was a good do, I believe.
Wow. What do you mean bombing the road? They were sitting off charges.
Yeah, there was so much snow last night and it was quite wet as well. So wet snow on the lower part of the mountains is a bit dangerous because it slides off the bluffs onto the road. So patrol have to come along and just bomb it just to clear that, to make sure it's not falling on you as you're travelling up on a car. Because a bit of a lump of wet snow will, you know, knock you off the road if you're not careful. Dangerous things, mountains in winter.
Yeah, I understand that. That sounds
so they say
incredibly unpleasant. I mean, Rocky, there's so much I want to ask you. I mean, our history is, and I was saying to Eugene just before we came on, that I met you 5 years ago now at the Grant Guys. We were sharing a house all together at Kepler. And that's the first time.
We were indeed.
It's the first time I met you. And you know, there's this guy, he's, you know, in the... talking about you've been a ski rep back in the day and all sorts of stuff like that. And I didn't know anything about Kepler or Feather Fast or anything like that. I mean, how long have you been involved in the outdoors industry?
It's been a while, eh? Since I was 16, so that's going back in time.
So 10 years 30. At least.
Yeah, you know, I'll say over 30 years and leave it at that.
Right. And pardon me for saying, but your accent doesn't lend itself to say, I don't think about the Italian Dolomites or the Pyrenees. Where did you grow up?
My accent lends itself to the true north, mate, Northern England.
Where was home?
Home for me was West Yorkshire for many, many years, Calderdale, the Calder Valley, the Pennines, as you might know it.
Mm-hmm.
The Pennine Way was, you know, not too far away from the house kind of thing.
Yeah.
Lived there for many years. But then I did move around a bit, lived in the Lake District for a long time as well, another fantastic place in the UK. But left the UK in 2005. Found myself in Australia for a while, then we came here in 2014.
Mm. Wow.
And was when you were growing up, were you out in the outdoors? Was that a thing for you?
Yeah, you kind of were by default in some ways. Because, you know, you go into the Cub Scouts, you go into the Scouts, and you're just into that outdoorsy thing, you know. As a family, we'd go walking. We'd go to, you know, the wet week in the Lake District every year where it poured down incessantly. Or you'd be dragged up Snowdon in, you know, the wrong gear completely with my dad when I was like 7. When is this going to end? Walking up in working boots and an anorak just because you had to do it. Yeah, you see what you're about most of the time, to be fair.
And did you ever indulge in, like, fell running or anything like that?
Okay, it's a thing, not fell running, but at an early stage, you have to do school sports, don't you?
Yeah.
You can't go, you've got to do school sports. I'm not a team player, and I used to hate the team sports. So you could do that, or you could do cross-country running.
Right.
So I opted for cross-country running, which actually was, when I think about it, actually, it's a shame they didn't have Strava back then. Because we were only quite small, but they put us through it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'd love to go back now and run the old cross-country course, actually, from the school. I reckon it'd probably go like 6 or 7 Ks. And when you're small, and it was always in winter as well, they made you do this.
Yeah.
And you had completely the wrong kit, running around in the rain, freezing rain, in a cotton shirt with your school emblem on it. But it was good to do.
Well, when you think about a classic, I mean, an open men's cross-country race is 10K,
yeah.
Masters men's and women's is 8. So
I know. Yeah.
It's like...
But,
I mean, fell running, obviously, it's a very different thing as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm sure some of your listeners understand fell running, but in its real nature, it's running straight up and straight down the fell. There's no nice trails or anything. It's like, it's chaotic, actually.
Yeah.
It's very, very dangerous as well for those nutters that really want to do it in a purist form.
Mm. Yeah. And it usually starts and finishes, well, often starts and finishes at a pub, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
It's canny, there's a pub in the middle at the top.
Oh, really? Get one and halfway.
Oh, yeah.
I went and watched the cheese rolling in Gloucester when I was living in Gloucestershire. Yeah. And, yeah, that was pretty hectic. But you see some of those have fell running courses and they're just as bad.
Yeah, oh, they are for sure. I mean, if you've got the nerve to hurtle down at speed down some of those things, I mean, you do get it here. Say Kepler, for instance, when you see people doing the grunt, and, you know, the guys that are really at the front of the grunt and the girls, when they're coming flying down off that hill, the speed they're running down there, it's just preposterous sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one slip, you know what it's like slipping on that course running downhill?
No.
You know? Great segue for Matt there.
Yes, I'm aware. Yes, I am aware. It is dangerous.
Well, to be fair, you weren't running. You were kind of bouncing.
Yeah.
Like, boom, boom,
flowing,
boom.
Flowing. Yeah. I mean, talking about, and this is a good, you know, growing up in the north of England, I mean, where did fell running have its antecedents? Where did it have its roots? How did it start?
Oh, look, I would hesitate to say the Lake District. Somebody might pick me up on this with more knowledge than me, but I would say the lakes, there's a lot of open land there. A lot of it would have come from, you know, some of the old guys that looked after the sheep as well.
Mm.
There's some gnarly old lads. And they'll be running around the fells and they kind of got together and made it a bit of a race. And you've got some classic old clubs that have been running for years and years and years.
Right.
Yeah.
So you moved.
It's sense. You know, there was never ultras back then. There was never even really trail races. It was your cross country or your fell runner.
Right.
And that's about it, really.
Richard Asquith, A Feet in the Clouds. Is a great book to read about fell running, the history and all those because they were such characters. They were, you know, they'd go off to work in the bloody mines and then go and run a fell race at the weekend. And, you know, they were sort of real characters, weren't they? That whole scene. And
yet,
sorry.
And I think it's almost making a wee bit of comeback as well. But I think people doing like the Lakeland Round is getting more and more popular, doing the Wainwrights in one hit.
Mm.
Every after the fastest known times and things like that.
Yeah.
Actually, before I popped on here, I've been following the Montane Summer Spine Run, actually, which is on right now.
Yeah.
The leaders have been out for like 40 hours at the moment.
It's incredible. I mean, that.
And our own Matt Girvin is
Matt Girvin's out there getting after it.
Oh, he's excellent.
Yeah.
Whereabouts is he placing at the moment? You know?
I don't know. But
we should update. Yeah. But he's cracking along. He's doing all right. But yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? That whole scene. And. That whole like the John Kelly and Damien Hall epic duel on the Pennine Way, and it's a really great scene. I love it, and I love that it's kind of thrived despite what COVID has thrown at us. Especially at the UK, you know.
I think actually what COVID has done is it reignited people's desire to be outside.
Mm, yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, I'm not just talking about New Zealand here; I'm talking about worldwide.
Yeah.
Mm.
Bit of an unrelated stat. Mm. Last month, Yellowstone had more visitors in one month than any other month ever before.
Yeah.
Wow. Did it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's phenomenal.
Our friend John, he's one of the medical staff on the Western States, and he emailed in a couple of weeks ago. And he sort of kept up with us right throughout this COVID thing. He's a medical professional. And it just has this air, it's next week. It has this air of people are just so pumped for it. You know, it means so much more. It always means a lot, but it seems like it means it, and we've had that, right? So we've had like, and if you think about in terms of all sports, we've had football matches, netball matches, rugby matches. Yeah. We've had Tarawera. We've had, you know, North, all the big stuff. We've done it.
Mm.
No one else really has.
Mm.
And it's, they're really, I think there's going to be some people absolutely throwing down.
Mm. Well, I imagine so. You know, this pent-up release in it. People have been wanting to do it, wanting to do it, and now they can. It's like, boom, off
yeah.
they go.
Yeah.
And we've seen it in the shop locally. I mean, the Coast to Coast sold out, what, in 5 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. It was insane.
That's it. It's gone and weird. So many people coming in just, you know, I've not been tramping for years. What do I need for tramping? I'm doing the great walks and things.
Yeah.
People getting really excited and getting back in their own backyard.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah.
Anyone come in the shop and be like, so I entered Coast to Coast and I...
That's a plane.
It's a plane. Is that our plane or...?
It's an Air Force plane.
Oh, it's an Air Force plane. Yeah. Okay. Entered Coast to Coast and I need a kayak. And how do you kayak? Anyone do that?
Yeah, look, you know, you get all levels of people coming in. They usually come in, I've entered Coast to Coast, now how do I pay for it? It's what we usually get.
Yeah.
It's an expensive race. Like,
that's the least of your worries.
Yeah.
I mean, where was your start? How did you get interested? I mean, there's cross-country and there's kind of, you know, like your wet week in the Lake District. But, I mean, what drew you to the outdoors industry? Where did you get your start?
Well, the outdoors industry, I was bumming around when I was 16 and I got a job in a climbing shop, you know, a climbing shop and come ski shop. And I took it from there. I thought, I actually quite like this.
Yeah.
Developed in somewhat of a career in various places. I mean, it took us all around the world. I've lived in the States, you know, we've lived in France, being a ski photographer, just doing all kinds of stuff, you know, in the industry.
So
but, you know, my heart's retail. I just like retail. It's like selling outdoor gear to people.
Yeah.
Love it.
So it's the outdoors plus it's retail. You enjoy selling stuff.
I don't actually enjoy selling stuff. It's just about the environment.
The
I couldn't work anything other than outdoor retail.
Yeah.
Because you're having a crack with people, finding out what they're doing. It's just, you know, having a crack, having a bit of fun in it, you know?
Yeah.
See what, you know, sharing adventures with people. It's the whole community aspect to it, to be quite honest.
That's one of the things that strikes me about Further Faster, and this is by no means sort of an advertorial.
Well,
we
should be clear. We basically had to drag Rocky onto the show.
Yeah, we absolutely had to drag Rocky onto the show.
We almost had to just, you know, trick him into coming on.
I got told it was me or Grant Guys, and I thought I'd do the world a favor.
He's been on enough. He's a cyclist now. He doesn't run anymore.
That's true, actually. He has turned into a cyclist, yeah. Bless him.
Is the sense of community that you foster around the store? How, I mean, tell us about Further Faster. When did you start that?
Well, we moved here in 2014 and we pretty much started straight away, not as a store, more as a distribution arm for Montaigne, UK. But they wanted to bring it across here and I said I'd help with that. And then we opened the store up in 2016. It's grown from there, you know. It's just, it's very, very organic, actually. We don't really force anything. We found that there was definitely a hole in the market locally for having a good old, what I call a British-style outdoor shop, which is focused on gear, focused on service, focused on fun. And, you know, off we went. And, you know, it's been good so far. Touch wood.
Mm-hmm. And like Matt said, you do have that sort of community aspect to it as well. Not only sort of in the shop when you're buying stuff, but you put on events and you've got an avalanche one on this Friday, for instance, an avalanche course on that sort of thing.
Look, I think it's fun more than anything else.
Yeah,
people can, you know, get together. We'll have a beer, talk about whatever. Yeah, this time of year we are quite safety focused in some of the events. So this is probably maybe the third avalanche event we've had this week. It's we're pairing up with Autovox. Now one of the guys is coming on and we're having a yarn on Friday. But during the rest of the year, we'll have trail running ones. We'll have the TRO talks are always popular because more and more Kiwis are starting that walk.
Yeah.
And a lot of competition as well. It's really, really popular.
Mm.
But then we've also got races as well. You know, races are good fun.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like going on a race? Mm. You know, having the crowd turning up.
Yeah.
It's Kiwi races, we all know each other as well.
Well, that's almost the best thing.
A hardcore group of people that's interested in every race.
Yeah.
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 I was listening back the other day. I was doing some kind of going back through the archives a little bit. And I listened back to our Kepler special. And I was listening back to when we were speaking to you. And yeah, you embodied that. You were so fired up. You were just.
Was that the day that I got told to stop.
No, this was this year, last year's one. When you did the grunt and you just like, it was just so evident. You came like striding up to us and it was like, it was 2 hours, 3 hours before you were even starting and you were like, the knob was up to 11 already and been snapped off. So, yeah, you're right.
You've got to give it, if you're going to do it, you might as well give it, do a proper job, eh?
Absolutely. Mm. 100%.
Well, at least give it a go. I actually did a good grunt last year, actually.
Yeah.
I think I'll do the grunt again this year as well. I keep just not wanting to do the Kepler again.
You got to go back. But I had that experience of I was heading back along those boardwalks and then appearing out of the mist like a sort of some mountain hero.
Yeah.
Here comes Rocky towards me. It was great to see him. Going for it.
It's a good race for having a yarn with people.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. But to me, that's what racing's about. Almost the kind of the bit of putting one foot in front of the other and trying to get somewhere fast is kind of secondary. It's the community. It's coming together and catching up with people.
It's definitely secondary to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I tried to be serious once and it was the first Wutu K and I was running. I was like, right, I'm gonna do. I was doing the marathon, and I had trained really hard for it, but I was like, no, I'm gonna, rah 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 rah. And this guy tried to make conversation with me, going up a switchback, and I kind of shut him down a bit. And then by the next switchback, I'd actually said, look, I'm really sorry about that.
Before you were famous?
Oh no, like I'm not famous, but like I was riding and stuff like that. But he was just a guy, Ash. Ash Walker runs Thrive in the Wairarapa.
Oh, yeah.
And he was running with his dog, Scout, and he had the dog. It's a good story, right? The dude, the dog's carrying his gear, and they ran together.
Oh, is that allowed?
Yeah, apparently it is. Oh. But I was like, oh, no, serious guy. And then I was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you're taking away from the whole enjoyment of why you do this.
Yeah.
And I actually apologized. I said, look, sorry about that. It's been a real dick.
Yeah, you've got to have the crack with people.
Absolutely.
See where people come from.
Definitely.
Plus, we sponsor a lot of the races. So I want to make sure they're enjoying it as well. Yeah, I want to make sure people got bang for books. They get me to entertain them around the course.
So speaking of one of the things, and we had a couple of runs this weekend, and I know we live in, well, someone died in Auckland this mm. someone was killed.
And a weather event.
Poor bastard was killed by a tornado in Papakura?
Papatoetoe.
Yeah. Papatoetoe. Yeah. Right. It gets hectic up here. It's not that we don't get blizzards, we don't get, and we were both out and it was really gnarly, the weather.
And we were up at like 172 metres.
Yeah. We were above the inversion layer, bro.
You need to calm down a wee bit.
I know, fully. But in terms of what's your... Speaking of safety, what's the one thing that people sort of underestimate, do you think, this time of year in terms of safety?
Oh, well, it's always weather. It's always weather.
Mm.
Yeah. You can say classically it's winter, so you're going to deal with cold temperatures. And all that cold temperatures can bring to you in very different ways. Wind's always going to be, the killer if you're not careful. You don't want to be cold and wet, basically.
Yeah.
It's cold and wet takes you to a bad place eventually, especially if you don't dry. Mm. So you want to make sure you're dry and warm. I do, we're not going to start waffling on too much about this, but I do find some people probably are still a little bit unprepared. So the normal excuse is, well, I run fairly hot, which, it's fine if you do, but, at some point you'll be stopping, and then you're going to cool down fairly fast as well. Mm. Even if you're not wearing it, you just need a bit of extra kit in your bag. And just make sure you're not doing anything too daft.
Yeah.
You're in a buggability. Because the same trail in summer ain't going to be the same trail in winter.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in the Craigie Burns or something like that, and you're going proper mountain running.
Mm.
It's a whole different ball game.
Mm. Well, you can just hour by hour, it can be a different trail, can't it, in the mountains?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, you look at the forecast. You do it like anything. If you go into the mountains any time of year, you're going to look at the forecast, look what's underfoot, look what's coming, and prepare for it, don't you?
Mm. So, I mean, do you have like a minimum kit that you'd only go out in the mountains if you had this, this, and this? Like, is there a kind of
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep. What's that?
I probably carry too much kit, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm not fast, so I don't have to worry about it too much.
Someone's taking
it. Hang on, you're being photobombed.
You're being photobombed. There's paparazzi behind you.
Hello, nurse.
Oh, okay, right. I didn't realise that.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah, so what do you take with you?
This time of year, obviously, yep. I'll carry a waterproof jacket even if I don't need it. Mm-hmm. I always have extra gloves and an extra hat just because you never know. You might come across somebody who needs it as well, actually, half the time. Yeah, and I've got, you know, I've always got a emergency blanket. And sometimes, depending on what I'm doing, I might even take a stove with me so I can have a brew halfway around.
That's very Northern English of you, like a proper cup of tea.
Well, yeah, why not? You know, you're out for a couple of hours, maybe 2 or 3 hours. Maybe you want a brew. You know, nothing wrong with it.
I must admit this, especially this year, I've always loved gloves, but this year I have, like, gloves have come into their own for me. Like, I've found that I could run a lot in maybe short sleeves, and it's not been particularly cold, but on the nights that it has been, if I've got gloves on, that's like in place of arm warmers. Do you know, like, arm warmers, they're actually incredibly...
Gloves have come a long way as well, trail running gloves. It used to be you just got a pair of polar fleece gloves, whacked it on, which is fine in its own case, but polar fleece ain't particularly windproof.
No.
So now they're really smart. I've just been testing a pair recently where they've got a little bit... They've got a Pertex bag which comes out over them, which gives them extra warm for rain protection when you need it, and you can stuff it away when you don't want it.
Ah.
Yeah, kit just gets better every year. It gets lighter, it gets more interesting. That's why I've got loads of stuff in my bag, because I'm always testing kit as well.
Do people, I mean, that's the point, isn't it? I guess when you mentioned it's not when you're going fast, it's when you stop. And I guess, I mean, I was carrying, you know, we're at Riverhead. I mean, for God's sake, we could probably, you know, crawl somewhere if we were really in trouble. But I always carry, you know, a first aid kit, an emergency bag. I always have some thermals in my bag, you know, a hat, Ollie hat, some gloves, just because I know that if I fall over, you know, break my leg, I'm going to be stuck somewhere. You know, it's the unexpected that you need to prepare for, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is, yeah. You don't want to be out in the middle of nowhere, especially around here. I mean, anywhere in the South Island, North Island as well, you know, Taranaki and places like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Taranaki, it's a crazy place. You just want to have that kit in case you do have to stop. You know, you want to make sure you can stay warm, stay dry, and stay safe. To be honest, if I'm up in the Craigie Burns, anywhere like that, I'll have a PLB with me as well normally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just saying, I mean, even thinking about that for someone like Riverhead, so if you or I fell over and broke our leg, say, and we were out.
Let's face it, it'll be me.
It might be me. There's lots of places there where there's absolutely no cell phone reception.
Yeah, there's no cell phone reception.
So it's it's easily a 20 minute. So you'd be thinking about stabilising the person first, and then you're leaving them on their own for a minimum of 20 minutes while you're running to the top.
Yep.
You just basically can head up anywhere you go, you know, like head up to the top, and then it's a run back down. So that's 40 minutes. That's a long time. You know, stuff can absolutely, from a medical perspective, from a homeostatic perspective, go completely south in that.
So if you're just out there...
Well, imagine if you're there by yourself.
Yeah.
Mm. You've slipped. you're doing yourself a mischief, and you're like, oh, dear me. You know, you've got PLB on you. I mean, you don't want to bring a PLB. You know, you don't want to do that. But if you know, actually, that's what you'd have to do. It's what you have to do, innit?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Knowing that you'll have a, you know, hopefully a rescue team with it, you know, within not too long.
Yeah. Have you ever been in any, you know, hairy situations?
Pardon the pun.
Oh, sorry.
I've come across a few accidents for sure.
Yeah.
But I've never really injured myself that bad. Well, I broke my leg once skiing, I guess. I suppose that was a bit of a daft thing to do. But to be fair, I was being a bit daft at the time as well. I was on cross-country skis and I was off-piste in Scotland. I deserved everything I got, to be fair.
Right.
Yeah. That was it, you know.
Yeah.
I crawled back to where I had to get, then I got the shift up to have him sort me out. And long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you come across people. You come across people, a few people on races as well, eh?
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst injuries I've seen for a while was on the Dunners Three Peaks, actually, not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Where he turned a corner and this one lad had gone down and really doing himself a mischief on his head. Luckily, the doctor going past him, you think, well, but again, he was dazed. He had his blanket on him, so he had all that kit. It's a racer. That's why you carry that kit at a race.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not. People say, oh, it's heavy. It's there for a reason.
Yeah, and it's when you. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's when you. And I think to Carl Reed, he talked about it last week, thinking about Tarawera, when he was on the Western Okataina Walkway and he dropped off, and he said it was a 45-minute. Ride on the back of a motorbike out.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when it was the Cyclone Lucy year and I did that race, and there was a lad who was like a very fetching shade of grey. I don't know what was going on for him, but he was he looked sick. And they were just popping him on the back of it, and he had every single piece of kit he would.
Well, you know. A few years ago at Tarawera on the Western Okutana, there was that somebody unfortunately broke their leg.
Wow.
And they had to walk them out, you know. You know, that was a long time.
Well, you imagine coming a cropper on the ridge on Kepler.
Yeah.
Okay, just leave me alone.
You know how cold that can be if it's bad weather up there as well.
Yeah.
You might sunny down the valley, but you get on there, it can be
definitely.
Very unpleasant. Yeah, and you know, I mean, we shouldn't go on about it or dwell on it, but the race in China has kind of showed us the importance of carrying your compulsory gear, listening to the instructions, you know, and the importance of really good race directors as well, without bagging those ones. But you know, the calls that Steve has had to make at Kepler the last couple of years, you know, he's the last one who wants to do that, but he knows that for the safety of everyone there, he's got to make that call.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we can't really comment on the Chinese thing too much. If you don't know this, you know, they probably operate to slightly different standards, I imagine. They're probably, well, I don't know if they're used to the bad weather or not. It's still a very mountainous country.
It is.
So you'd expect them to be used to that in some ways. But obviously, it was a tragedy what happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lesson to all, make sure you've got your kit.
Yeah.
Do as you're told and take it with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It was like a 30-degree change, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hour.
Just dropped. Boof.
Yeah, it's just you know, a front comes through though. That could happen anywhere, especially in this country as well.
Especially
if you're a big racer, you gotta imagine you're doing like Northburn or something. You're out there for like 24 hours plus. You are going to get different weather in a race like that.
Of course,
any of the big ultras, you know, you're not going to get the same weather unless you're really lucky.
Yeah. What I mean, New Zealand's like the world has been through a transformation where trail runners have gone into areas that were traditionally kind of, you know, people who were kitted up and were out on tramps and stuff. But there are suddenly these people who are there who want to go fast, who want to go light. And we've seen amazing developments in gear to accommodate that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you can do, but you also need to know where you're at personally as well.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, you need to, you know, it's all about experience, eh? Mm. And you go to the level of your experience. I mean, I found myself actually, you know, getting more and more light gear and, you know, maybe a track where you'd normally wear tramping boots in the past, now I'd wear runners and I'd be comfortable wearing runners only because I've run, you know, a fair bit in the mountains. If you've not run them in the fair bit of the mountains, you break yourself in a little bit more. But you're right, people are more and more getting a feel. I mean, TRO has been run several times now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's a fantastic book. What is it? Heading North by Jurek of Appalachian Trail as well.
Yeah.
Absolute great read. Mm. So anything's possible. Like you said, gear's getting better. It's getting lighter. It's getting stronger. But there's always a trade-off as well. You've got to be careful. You don't go too light. You know, you still want to get the gear that's going to work.
Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. I know, and, you know, like all things being equal and the person having a good day just prior to the lock, just prior to last year, just prior to 2020, there was an international athlete coming over who'd planned to do have a really good crack at the Te Araroa FKT.
Okay.
Yeah, and I won't say the person's name because it might still be on the I won't say it publicly, but it might still be on the go. But they were going to come over, and I was like, that would have been incredible to see what they would have thrown down, you know, on
what is the current FKT for that? Do we know?
George did it last year, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
I'll do some research.
Yeah, you do some research. Okay, so what is, in terms of, like, you're talking about trends and you've talked about some good ones, what drives trends in the outdoor industry? So it sure is every good one you've seen six or seven bad ones, but what is it that drives trends?
Like everything, gear evolves all the time. And what really is pushing trends is people, really. People using kit. People, you know, wanting to go to more far from places.
Mm.
You know, they want to do things faster. I think people have got less time on their hands now as well. And so they can't go on to maybe all the long trips they used to be. So people are doing faster, shorter trips like that, you know. So kit's evolving. It's getting smaller for sure.
Mm.
You know, you see sleeping bags getting smaller and lighter and warmer all the time. you know, jacket to, you know, get getting more breathable. It's all evolving around that. Footwear is getting better. And like you do get the gimmicky little things cropping up every now and again where there's electronics involved and things like that. But on the whole, it's, you know, it's lighter, it's faster, it's easier to use, more comfortable to wear, and it works better. That's what it's all pushing at. I mean, tents are getting a bit ridiculous now. You know, you can pick up a tent for 800 grams, like a two-person ultralight tent.
Wow. Where,
yeah, it's, but, you know, the norm would have been 2.5 kilos like 4 years ago. And that was, you know, what we talk about now, we in 5 years' time, we could have the same conversation. And crikey knows where it will have gone.
Yeah.
You know, what we'll be doing. Well, we'll probably wear all running around in hover shoes by then. Or the soul will change mid-trail with a press of a button or something.
Right.
Who knows what?
Fastest known times, do updates.
It.
So,
go for it.
George Henderson, of course, last year, just before the lockdown, got in 49 days, 14 hours, 27 minutes. And Brooke Thomas, of course, had done it just 57 days, 12 hours, 16 minutes. Yeah, so those are the supported times. So, yeah, I mean,
without getting too nerdy about this, how do you even equate a time on for something such as so long? How do you actually time it?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's something out there mad enough to go absolutely go bags on it. You know what I mean? Just lose the plot and just go hard and hardly sleep like 30 days. Just go mental. Something.
I think that this athlete, I think that would have been the case. I mean, it would have been supported very well, but yeah, I think they would have gone absolutely apeshit. Like, yeah. That's my sense of things anyway.
Well, I think because you, like, what have you got? Logistics-wise, you've got to worry about the ferry, but otherwise you can Whanganui River. But otherwise, yeah, you could just go for it, couldn't you?
There's a few rivers and things down here to worry about as well.
Yeah, well, the crossings, yeah.
Yeah, nature have a big play in that, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the thing, isn't it? It's like all things being equal.
Yeah.
Like, I remember...
You boys should give it a crack.
I would love to do something like that. And I think not even left my run a bit late, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's like everyone, this is a pastime that we love, but I mean, yeah, I can't take a 6 month mortgage holiday and, you know, like say the Rebecca, darling, I'm following my why, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, Up until COVID struck, I was all planning to go out to do the Appalachian Trail.
Wow.
Were you?
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to section do it.
Yeah.
We go across there every year to the trade show in Colorado. So I was just going to start going out there 3 to 4 weeks early and just doing a section it all the time.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, that Jurek book got me going. I was like, I've got to do it. It's still, you know, it's something that has to be done. I need to do that trail.
Have you read the Bill Bryson book, A Walk in the Woods?
Oh, of course I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I'll probably do it for Bill Bryson than I would do it.
I'm just reading The Salt Path, which is an English couple who, just through various circumstances, end up losing their house. He gets diagnosed with a terminal disease, and they think, bugger it, let's just go walk the Southwest Coast Path. And in their 50s. And,
as you do.
And it just, I mean, you know, that whole, like you say, walking away from everything. Terrible situation, but they just find themselves, you know, it's incredible what they discover, you know. I just did air quotes, yeah. Sorry.
A good case in point would be the spine race we're talking about now.
Yeah.
10 years ago, nobody would have even thought about putting a race on to do the Pennine Way. And they started doing this in winter as well, which is still mind-bogglingly mad, to be quite honest.
Yeah, yeah.
10 years ago, people would have thought, you're going to be joking, nobody's going to want to race the Pennine Way.
Mm.
I think these days... You could put any race in front of people to go, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much enthusiasm for doing really, really out there, really hard things. People pushing themselves like they've never pushed themselves before.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very, very close to signing up for Northburn, I've got to say.
Are you?
It's been itching at me a little bit. Yeah. I keep putting it off. But now I've got it penciled for March 23.
Oof.
Go to a very dark place for a couple of days.
Yeah. And look at the, talking about people signing up for things, look at the enthusiasm there is about the wild, you know, Mel's race. people were.
No one's more enthusiastic than Mal, I've got to say. He's really into that race.
But that sounds like a bit of madness as well.
Yeah, I think it will be actually. Madness with a lot of hurt, lot of vertigo, I'd say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's in some ways it's amazing. In some ways, you think about if the borders were open and what have you, like what a draw that would be for an international athlete to come down and get after it. But I'm sure that it will fill up with just local people because it's. Yeah, I wonder if we're getting into...
I don't think it should be your first ultra, though, to be fair.
No. Do you wonder... I mean, it's like tattoos, isn't it? People are... Okay, so the point I'm making is when I got my last tattoo, there was a young woman in the tattoo on the bed next to me getting her first tattoo, which was on the back of her hand. Now, when I was a lad, tattoos on the back of the hand, it wasn't de rigueur. It wasn't something usual. And the point I'm making is for many people now, 100K, 100 miles seems to be something that they're jumping into quite quickly.
Mm. Definitely.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's sort of a post-COVID thing as well.
Yeah, but I love the 20-30Kers. I'm all about them.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's great fun. 20-30Ks, nice little bit of vert, nothing too daft. Mm. A good day out, a beer at the end, and the job's done.
Well, so what, Revenant's not on your calendar?
That's more, that goes back to my scout days, I think.
Yeah.
Running around the book of your compass, getting lost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah. The navigation, you've got Katie Wright trying to school up on navigation. I mean, that's going to be quite heckers next year, isn't it, that race?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, it's you're right that there's just so many different challenges that you put in front of people, and they're just up for it, aren't they? As you're saying, Tarawera.
Oh, absolutely.
Tarawera, the 100 mile, got more entrants now than by race time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than they had for the whole race. Oh, not making sense, but there's already more people signed up for it now.
Than what I think started.
We're seeing is a bigger, faster progression with people as well. People are really into it. You know, they'll be doing a 20K race. Within a year, they may have got into that ultra or they got into that 100. Mm. Just because they're really, really into it.
Mm.
You know, faster progression. Again, easier kit to wear, like a kit, it all helps.
Yeah.
I think that going back to the Revenant, you know, like the thing that sold it for me on the degree of difficulty was the fact that you had a couple of three dudes, and this year as well, from special forces.
Yeah.
You know, both New Zealand and overseas. Like you had an ex-Navy SEAL or, you know, and dudes from our special forces doing it who were like, nah. It's hard. I couldn't, like that really, as a kid who grew up in a certain time, you know, that really strikes me as being like, wow, that must be really difficult. And then Sean Collins just goes and just destroys it.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, there's probably a local Kiwi advantage to that race as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
But then he's from Auckland. He lives in Langholm. I mean, it's not exactly mountainous.
It's still a Kiwi.
Yeah, true.
He's been to Otago before.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, the other thing that you guys are famous for down there is your beer reviews. So have you got a best of?
Oh, man. We drink a lot of different beer down here, I've got to say. It got to the point where breweries were just sending us beer just so we'd mention it. It got a bit silly, to be quite honest. we've got them all in the shop, you know. If you look around at the top, you'll find old cans and old bottles of all the beers we've done. But we had to get a little bit clever recently. Because we can't mention the word beer on the Facebook thing.
Oh.
So now it's a beer o'clock review, or their algorithm picks it up and stops it.
Really?
So this podcast is really stopped now because we mentioned the word beer in the podcast, so it's all over.
So you can do like live shooting, but you can't do beer.
You can't mention it in the thing. It cannot be called the beer o'clock review. Now it's called the gear o'clock review.
Ah.
But we've a beverage by somebody. You just got to be, you know, a bit of play on it.
Yeah. Wow.
Pesky algorithms, eh? Spoiling our fun.
Spoiling our fun.
I wish I could say I was surprised, but I'm not. Mm. Like, wow, really? Thanks.
I'm personally a fan of the IPAs as well, and that's, you know, it's been the beer that's really grown exponentially these last 3 or 4 years. IPA here, IPA there. And look at all these Kiwi breweries we've got now as well.
Yeah.
All these microbreweries popping up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm coming across new ones all the time. And we're very fortunate as well. About 7 doors up from the beer library just opened on our street.
The beer library.
Yeah. I mean, come on, of all the things. And we had a wine warehouse open next to that. And now we've got the cake shop. You know, they were in the ghetto, but it's pretty well serviced now, this ghetto.
It's more like a ghetto.
Yeah, ghetto.
So, I mean, what's it look at? How has the last couple of years been for you? I mean, it must have been quite difficult initially when we all went inside for a bit.
Yeah, look, we did. You know, we got on with it, as you do. We actually made good use of that time, actually, as a company. You know, I mean, we kept all the staff on, normal wages and everything, and we did a lot of staff training via Zoom. So we got suppliers on, you know, they went through all their gear, and, you know, it was good, actually, because they were uninterrupted for an hour. You know, you guys from La Sportiva would come on Zoom, talk stuff about La Sportiva. You know, somebody else from Deutsch would come along. You know, or I think we had Grant on for a bit. And, you know, he had a yarn about himself. Then he talked about some shoes he did. So we made good use of it. But as soon as we came out of lockdown, we all know what it was like. It was on. It was bedlam.
Yeah.
You know, we've been cooped up, and it was the great rush to go outdoors. You have to say it's not stopped since then. Mm. You know, people have still, you know, got that level of enthusiasm to be out there, you know, exploring, having fun, having the crack.
Long may it last.
Yeah. And, you must have a fairly loyal base of people, hey, who because there's a proliferation of outdoor stores in New Zealand.
You never take anything for granted, and you definitely shouldn't. You know, we've grown quite a bit, but even though we're growing, we really want to keep it that small store feel, even when we double the size of the footprint. We get in more and more customers all the time, you know, they heard about the friend. Sometimes people just want to come in and have the crack, and it's great. Mm. Or they've shopped online, they're from Auckland, from Wellington, you know, first time in the store, oh, have a look around. I offered a girl a glass of wine the other day. She was very taken aback. I went, oh, your husband's going to be here forever. Because he can't make his mind up. Do you want a glass of wine? She went, oh, go on then. I think she was, you know, a couple in before we know what happened. You know, everybody was happy.
And how many people walk into the store singing the jingle?
We've had it a few times. she's not in the store. She usually had them out running. And it gets, you know, I had to go, oh, look, it's Rocky Badger. Da, 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 da. And then you always get it wrong.
I was running, this year's Kepler, as I came past you, I was like, I have to do it. And like the look you gave me, but I really did yell it at you as I ran past. And the guy who was running behind me, I hadn't turned my head, you know, and not that he'd know what I looked like or who I was, but we were running and we kept carried on a couple of hundred meters down the path. And he goes, oh man, advertising really works, eh?
Oh, look, it's a good jingle. You know, it has
to be. I was like, yeah,
good on Andrew McDowell.
Yeah, good on Andrew McDowell.
Well, and you.
What, you made that jingle up as well?
I was explaining it to you the other day. So that for those who don't know the genesis of that jingle, I mean, we really lucked out on that jingle. I mean, that's a quality jingle. Andrew McDowell, who, you know, he sends us lots and lots, not lots of stuff, but he does send us some stuff, and you sort of marvel at it. I did make that up on the spot, but he definitely added the sort of
turned it into what it was.
The orchestral magnificence.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know how you'll top it. Actually, I don't know. It'd be hard to top that one.
It would be. You're a bit of a music lover yourself, though.
I am. Yes, I do. Yeah, I do like a bit. You know, the odd tune now and again.
What are you into?
What am I into? Oh, look. Oh, very eclectic taste these days. You know, when you're young, I was into, you know, a lot of heavy metal and things. I was from the North England, but then you get the Joy Division coming in. It's a lot of dark, you know, somber overtones, you know, a bit of goth. But now, oh, I'm all over the shop. I really am. Mm. You know, I'm a bit of a fan of John Butler from Western Australia. I like a little bit of that. One of my favourite bands is a local Halifax band from a group called Paradise Lost. They're, you know, merchants of doom metal, not everybody's taste, but, you know, cracking for long runs, actually. Put a bit of that on. You just get into a nice pace, listen to these guys going hard. All over the shop when it comes to music. I do like try to be in charge of the music in the shop as well. We've got a lot of young staff, and they take it upon themselves to put some right trash on, actually.
Just put the, yeah.
At Sandwich Shop the other day, I turned off what they put on. I put the Wiggles song on.
Wow.
I would rather listen to the Wiggles than listen to some of this youngster music. Thank you.
That is the dictionary definition of cutting your nose off to spite your face. I mean, but you're from where Black Sabbath is from. And speaking of doom, I mean, they are one of the most incredibly agile bands in the world. Still going, you know.
Still going, absolutely, yeah. I mean, they were, when it comes to doom metal, they were the first purveyors of it.
Yeah.
Out of the UK, I mean, we're not turning this into a doom metal podcast.
Oh, look, I'd happily turn this into a doom metal podcast.
Then we can start talking about, you know, Californian punk and things like that, because I was talking about this. Get on to Henry Rollins, I'll be here all night.
Yeah, yeah.
Sabbath were great. Iron Maiden, I mean, they're still going strong as well. You know, a classic band, you know, UK heavy metal just doesn't seem to die. What gets me is, are there still young kids getting into it as well?
Yeah.
So, you know, it must be their dad. So, Dad, what's this picture of this guy in a skull and hatchet? Listen to it, son, you'll be fine.
Well, that's the thing, though. You can't show me someone who's not going to look at a picture of Eddie, you know, for their Iron Maiden mascot and not go like, I'm absolutely going to check this out. And even if it's not to your taste, eh? Like you go like, it's got a skull or just so, it's emphatic, eh? It's a really emphatic.
Okay, good guessing point. Obviously, you've got kids. I don't have kids. Now, have you got any leanings to what your kids, what do you want to teach them regarding music? Because you're a big muser.
So my kids, yeah, like my, I mean, God, my, they grew up with an incredibly eclectic range of music, both from Rebecca and I. And Rebecca and I have massive sort of areas of a Venn diagram where we overlap, and we have massive areas where we absolutely don't. In fact, we have like, we've got safe lists. So like, and it's like mutually assured destruction. So if you don't play Pink when I'm in the house, I won't play Converge, you know, like, and that's, and if you do, I will. And so
but where's the overlap?
Well, there's lots of in the middle, but like they all have an incredibly, I guess it's the thing, isn't it? The more permissive, like kids will find their way and they'll find what they're into. But if they're given, and I guess it's like adventure, isn't it? If you're given the space to go out and explore rather than going like, oh, no, do you know? Like,
yeah.
I remember my son, the first, because I had, I've got a Fender Precision Bass, and it's the exact same color as Didi Ramone. So it's got a rosewood pick, rosewood fretboard, and it's black and white. And we were watching the Don Letts documentary, Punk Attitude. Have you seen that?
Yes, I believe I have actually, yes.
And so we're watching the Don Letts documentary, Punk Attitude, and the Ramones come on. And Tom, it was a couple of years ago, he was like 13, and he's just like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've seen. You know, because the Ramones are rad and you can't help but be arrested by them. And then he went over into the corner and he unzipped the bag and took the bass out and he looked at it. And then he looked at Didi Ramone and he looked at it and he was like, I'll be right back. And he ran off, you know, like, yeah, it's that sense of just, it's the same as the outdoors, kids being kind of just encouraged to explore that kind of musicality. Yeah, they have a really wide-ranging taste. Tom's really into hip-hop, actually. Like, he really, really is. And the girls sort of, they go all over the place, but they sort of find their way.
Yeah, cool. Because I mean, I remember as a kid listening to, you know, I was in the house, you know, mum and dad would play stuff. It'd be like Cliff Richard in the Shadows, Elvis Presley, and that had no lings on me at all whatsoever. Yeah. I did not become a Cliff Richard or the Shadows fan after that.
Although you can draw, you know, like, again, not to turn this into a music podcast, but you can draw, like, that's rock and roll. I mean, Black Sabbath is the Shadows slowed down.
I guess that's where it started.
Yeah, it's all the blues, you know?
Yeah, and then it turns into punk, turns into rock and roll, you know, yeah. Then it gets really good.
Oh, look, this is fantastic. And we're wandering all over the map. And I'm aware that you've been up very early and we've...
Oh, that's fine. I told you this would go everywhere.
It's fantastic.
It's what we signed up for.
And what we're going to do now is we're going to land the plane and we're going to ask you the question that we ask everyone who comes on Dirt Church Radio. And that's, Rocky Walker, what's been your greatest run ever?
It's still Kepler. It's still that Kepler. Just the whole thing. It's still with me. The sheer grit and determination I had, and the pig noses, just to carry on and doing what I wanted to do, and get it done through. I would say a little bit of combat almost.
So that was 2017.
I think, bro, wasn't it?
No, 18. 2018. Yeah,
2018.
Yeah, we know the story. Somebody thought they'd turn a load of people back, and when they shouldn't have turned a load of people back, and I went, "Ah, no, I'm carrying on." And they said, "No, you can't." I went, "Yes, you can. Catch me." I just carried on and set off, and I made sure that I passed people who they'd let through anyhow, just to prove a real point.
Yeah,
right.
That's a very abridged version of what happened, by the way. There was a couple of tense conversations at various checkpoints, where they stripped my number off me at one checkpoint. That really got to me. It was like, you know, being derobed or something in the church. Off you go. You're now on your own.
You've been excommunicated.
Ah. Yeah, on a damn race. Well, this is my first ultra, and this has happened to me. How can it get any better than this? There's going to be a story in it, and sure enough, there was.
Yeah.
And you passed people who'd been sent on ahead of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. I think there's some miscommunication. You know, it's just a story. You know, there's so many stories from so many racers. Everybody's got them.
And why does it, I mean, apart from, is it the kind of, I was going to say rock and roll or punk nature of it that makes it a great run for you? Or would there, you know, but even if that hadn't happened, would it still be a great race for you? Greatest run for you?
I knew I had to get it done in a certain time because, you know,
yeah.
Whatever happened, I was not going to be at that 12-hour limit for sure.
Yeah.
And it was just that determination, just that grit. It was good, just, you know, it was a bit of a mental game towards the end because I was running by myself. Didn't really see many people.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it, yes. When I came off that line, I was like, such a release. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I do know I need to go back and do it proper, though.
Yeah.
Training for it might be a good idea next time.
Well, here's hoping for this
year. It'll be all right, mate. I'll just turn up.
Yeah.
Here's hoping for this year. And look, man, it's amazing to see you. Thank you so much for coming on. And we've been saying it for ages, we need to get down, we need to podcast, we need to do a run, we need to hang out.
We need to do a DTR live on the shop.
We do.
Yeah. We do. We need to sort that out.
A bit of nice cheese, get a few people and have a bit of a laugh and go for a run.
That'd be great.
Sounds like the Holy Trinity. All right, brother, thank you so much and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, thank you guys. Cheers.
I just imagine a bunch of overstimulated Australian ad or TV producers going, yeah, dogs in the snow.
Dogs in the snow.
Get it going.
Yeah.
It'll distract them. I don't know what from and I don't know what the link was.
Maybe they had heard the Further Faster jingle.
Maybe.
And they were like, we want that hairy dog.
Yeah.
Badger.
Fantastic conversation. Yep. Lots of wisdom. Veered all over the place.
A few laughs.
And
lots of diversions.
Absolutely.
Great fun.
And we must get down to Christchurch to do a live show and a run. But look, thank you very much for tuning in. We're on social media at Dirt Church Radio. You can email us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. And if you're listening this, don't forget, write in for the Tarawera competition, which ends June 23rd. Nominate someone for that entry. You can find us on all the podcast platforms. Like and subscribe if you fancy. And you can download direct from the website, which is dirtchurchradio.com.
And you can also send in your greatest run ever. Don't forget to do that. You can send it to us, dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. We love hearing from you with them. And you can read them on the website too.
Absolutely. Thank you to our sponsors, Scott Running, Further Faster, Spring Energy and CLE. Thank you to our Patreon patrons and thank you to Wild Things. Thanks to our editor, Kieran. We've got a great show lined up for next week, so please tune in then. Ka kite.
Ka kite, Anna. Thanks, Rigby.